Evening. Thank you for this class, Lord. Amen. John chapter 14. We'll be all over in John. You ever read a chapter of scripture and then don't know what you read? Come on, can we keep it 100? Can we keep it real? You ever read it? You read it? Yeah, you read it good. Read it for your devotion time. And you can't say nothing about what you read. You couldn't repeat it back. You can't tell what principle you learned. But you read it though. My father told me something when I was younger, and he said, son, you got to stop trying to conquer the books. Because you know we used to read books in school. You know we have summer reading sometimes, or the books you try to get done, and then you know then you want to feel smart. Well, I read 3 books in the last whatever, right? So you begin to conquer the book. You ever did that in a book? You read a whole chapter, don't remember nothing about the chapter. I read like that sometimes. I read it, I go through it, and I didn't retain. Right? Like I didn't keep. Jesus talking about keeping the commandments. I couldn't keep it. But I did it. I finished it. I read, you know, you said make sure you do your reading today. I read. But I couldn't tell you the first thing that I read about. And it didn't keep, nor did it stay. And I'm not even saying that something should stay or keep on the first time. One of the keys about studying and about the Bible and about knowing Jesus better, because you know that's what it's about, right, is repetition. Consistent repetition. Just because you read it once don't mean you got it. There's some scriptures that I read that I knew I was quoting. And I knew I had them because I had memorized them. So, you know, once I got to memorizing, I thought I really had it. Right? You ever memorize a scripture, but it wasn't happening in your life? Amen. Come on. Anybody ever memorize a scripture, but then you wasn't getting that same result? So it wasn't just in the memorizing it. Although memorizing is good. Reading is good. Memorizing is good. But a repetition. Like repeating it. Continue. Jesus kept on saying, continue ye in my word. It's a continuation because your continuation consistently will show you more and more about who you are. The word of God is inexhaustible. You can't squeeze all the juice out of it. You think you got a scripture, and you know we knew it growing up. You know, and grandma taught it to us, and mama taught it to us, and we learned it in Sunday school. And then I learned it because they told me they're going to give me $100 if I memorize in a week. And I did that, and I did all those different things. And even when you hear a message and somebody give you a profound revelation out of a scripture, it is inexhaustible. There's still something else in there. There's layers to the word. There's layers to Jesus. You can't run out of God. What we call the word of. So you can't run out. So you can't exhaust everything that's in there. So that means there's always a new adventure. There's always a new thing. There's always something fresh in there for you to learn and know. Watch this, about you. So even in this class, there'll be a lot of repetition because there's some ways that we do things that need to be broken. See, one of our number one problems with progress is that we can't stop doing things the way we do it. That's one of the number one problems. It's not the devil. It's not Satan. Satan is only aiding you. He's helping you do what you do. He's only fooling you to make you think that you already know. It's not him doing it, it's you. He don't have the power to make you do anything. He don't have the power to keep you anywhere. He doesn't have that authority. He couldn't make Adam and Eve eat off the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He had to coerce and convince them and get them to make a decision. You're right, I am gonna be like God. And when he got them to think that way, he got them to go that way. Are y'all understanding me? But it's a personal decision. That the blame is not on, and you know, they started throwing blame in the garden. Remember when God came, the Father came, he said, you know, what's going on? And Adam said, you know, why you close? He said, I'm naked. The woman made me. Right? Then he jumped on the woman and said, now that the serpent made me. And nobody took, I always say this, man, and it really touched me. And the Bible's a story about me. The Bible's a story about you, right? And so in those things, I see where I can make mistakes and I make right decisions. Right? I'll see what the mistakes that I've been making. You see yourself in that. Stop talking about this Adam. Adam is you. Eve is you, right? Men, Eve is you too. You know what I'm saying? All that, you know, y'all get what I'm saying? And I begin to see the mistakes, and one day I saw it. I said, man, if Adam and Eve would have just said, I'm sorry. But I got that from just living by the book, like just seeing it as me. And I said, what would I do? Well, what do I do when I eat from the wrong tree? Anybody ever eat from the wrong tree? Amen. Everybody say it. Amen. Yeah, you're eating the wrong tree, right? Might have did today. And they ain't got to be like you was on the corner smoking crack. Right? It ain't got to be all the worst things you think it is. Just sometimes it's the wrong tree. Sometimes when you're in fear, it's the wrong tree. Sometimes when you're worried, it's the wrong tree. Sometimes when you're confused, it's the wrong tree. Sometimes when you're angry. Sometimes when you're depressed. Sometimes when you're oppressed. All these different things are wrong tree. The wrong tree will have you. If you're eating off the wrong tree, right? You eat off the wrong tree, you have no control over good and evil in your life. It can be either way, as soon as the wind blow. Because you're eating off of that tree versus eating off the tree of life, which is constant and consistent progress, right? So I said, what's the first thing I would have done, right? Because we would like to say all the stuff that we would have done. You know, if I was here, if I was Pete, I would have never said I ain't no G. Yeah, you would have. You would have said the same thing. Then people would have came at you in 2017. If it was 2017, what would have happened was they'd all had guns. And they said, we killing everybody that was with him because we got to squash the whole revolt. And the first thing you would have said was, I don't know him, and you'd have started cussing too. Guaranteed. I understand. Y'all listen to me, so I want to feel like I was like, no, I don't. Nope. I'm with Jesus. No. Soon as that ball went click, click, I'm like, he's going to forgive me later. And he did. Then when Peter denied Jesus three times, come, we live by the book, right? Then when Peter denied Jesus three times, then when Jesus come back, the first person you come looking for is Peter. He said, do you love me more than these? He asked him three times to deal with the three times that he. So I'd have took him up on that offer. You too, right? But hindsight, sometimes they call it the best sight, but hindsight, so I don't know. Well, you know, I know how the story goes already. Right? I know God is a lover, and he's a redeemer, and he loves me more than anything. Like, he's not a hater. He's not a rebuker. He's not a judger. He's not all these different things. Those things come out of his function because of his love for us, but it's how we relate to him. See, sometimes in the Bible, judgment came upon people, not because God judged them, but because they brought judgment upon themselves. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever man, that's what he also going to reap, right? As the earth remaineth, so is seed, time, and harvest. So you got to remember that everything that you receive is something that you put. So we're quick to say, God is, no, where were you? But I can imagine, I probably would have done all that. I'd have hid, I'd have got dressed, I'd have hid. I probably would have blamed somebody else. You ever blame somebody for your problem? Huh? Y'all don't want to answer me. We don't be, yeah, I don't never do that. Yeah, you do. You did it yesterday. Right? You blame somebody else for something that, right, that you should have took ownership for. Right? And it's a natural thing. Right? It's the first response a lot of times. That's our first response, to find out what's wrong with something else before you find out what's wrong with. Right? Amen, right? That changed ourselves. But I probably, I don't know who to blame, but I know somewhere along the line, I may have could have worked upon, like, I'm sorry, though. Because, you know, we read that Adam never said he was sorry. Go read it. Go live by the book. Adam and Eve, they never apologized. They never was like, you know, we messed up. And, you know, I know I wasn't supposed to do it. Right? Anybody ever had to pray that prayer before? I have. I prayed it several times. Several upon several times. 70 times 70. Right? Right, second one, right. But I don't, you know, I'm sorry. I got beside myself. I just got a little greedy. I'm sorry though. Right? They never really did that. And sometimes it tells me us, you know, the word repent in the original Greek simply means to change your mind. You know, a lot of times we think repent is falling out, crying, and all these different things, but it's really changing your mind. See, when you repent, and then also when you ask for forgiveness, right? That's for you, not for God. He already know where your heart at. And he already knows what you need, but you need to know what you need. And so somewhere along the line, because there was no repentance, there was no change of mind. And so Adam and Eve, and so God tells them, you know, okay, because of this, and he starts laying down the law. And it's only because of what you did. It's not because of what he said. It's not because of what he wanted to do. These are the things that's got to happen because this is the thing that you put out here. You get it? So now what he starts telling the man is going to happen to him, what he starts telling the woman is going to happen to him, what he tells the serpent, then he tells him, you got to get out the garden and you can't come back in here, right? Those are responses to how they identified themselves. This is what I'm saying. Those are responses to that. So now it becomes the responses. So, you know, Adam and Eve pack up the rest of the fig leaves, the rest of the outfits, right? Come on, use your imagination. Come on, y'all. The Bible get good, man. Like the Bible is a real. It's better than anything you're gonna watch or anything you're gonna read or any conversation. It's up there. But you got to go at it a certain way. I'm going to show you how tonight. We've been talking about it already, but I'm going to show you how tonight. But they leave out the garden, and you never hear anything else about. We didn't even hear Adam looked at Eve and said, Eve, you know, we was down bad for that. Like we never, you never heard Eve say, you know, Adam, maybe we should have said we were sorry. And so from there up until the New Testament, you don't hear them referring to God as the Father. Go look at your Bible. I try to look for it, and I've never seen them. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, Moses, all those, they never referred to him as his father. It was their God. They never came to a completion of that realization, that relationship. Simply because of an identity crisis. So our endeavor in this class is to not only be able to conquer the Bible and to be able to quote the most scriptures, right? Or to be able to be the one that feels like they know the most religious thing, right? Oh, that's cool. Hand clap for whatever you want to hand clap for. But the object is to be able to understand what God is saying about me and about my life and about what he's decided to happen way before I got here. So he's had this thing planned out already. And so now when I pick up my scripture, it's not really for me to live right. It's for me to understand my righteousness. So if I understood my righteousness, I'd already live right. So we're working backwards. So we begin to take the word of God and try to do it, but we failed. Have you ever failed at doing the word? Amen. Come on, y'all know how I want it. Have you ever? Yes. Answer, yeah. You failed at doing it right because you've gone from the wrong end. See, you tried to do something without the enablement to do it. No, but you got it already. See, I got it already. Come on, say, I got it already. Come on, say, I am already. See, you got it already, but you don't know. You don't know. You get it? You don't know. So our endeavor is this, and I wrote this down right before I came in class, that we have to, when we approach the scripture, the holy written scripture, right, which is the word of God. Remember, we call it the word of love. We know the word of God is flesh. If we can't connect it to something as a live being, then it's really not alive to us, right? Are we ready? Are we with that? Are y'all clear with that, right? So now I have to go from seeking, from studying the word of God for intelligence and focusing on identity. Not intellect, identity. Not information, identity. But if I go from, if I approach the word of God with my mind and my concept on identity first, then I'll have the information and the intellect and the intelligence. Remember, all those start with in. Intelligence, information, intellect, all that's on the inside. But if I don't know that that's giving me my identity, then I begin to search all these other places for information, intelligence, and intellect. You get it? And so now I'm doing everything from the outside. See, this whole pursuance is of you. I wrote this down. I just wrote the statement down, and this is okay. Human nature, this is true about human nature. This is true about human nature with everything that we do. Everything that we do, from work to family to relationships to everything that we call life, right? It's true that majority of the time, one of the number one questions is, and you may not say it out your mouth because you don't want to sound like a certain way, but the number one question is, what's in it for me? Come on, we don't want to say it. We don't want to say it sometimes because we sound like, no, you trying to find out what's in it for me. All right, you go to job interview. You ain't going up and talking about, well, how can I help? No, you, what's these hours? How much an hour? How much vacation time I get? And that's okay. I'm not saying anything is wrong with that. Nothing is wrong with that, but I just need you to understand that about yourself. Can we understand that about yourself? No false humility in the room, right? That fake humility. You know, y'all know we do that. Well, I ain't worried about it. No, you're not. You are. You're concerned about all of that. This is keeping 100. Most of us got saved because we didn't want to go to hell. You ain't get saved because you want to do the mission. I want to do the work of the Lord. The reason I got saved is for other people. No, you was thinking about hellfire and brimstone on your tail. That's it. Right? And it's okay. See, I'm not scared the hell out of you. Told you you're gonna burn. That's okay. That's okay. But just remember, that's why. You didn't start off in the mission. Well, I born again into the mission field. No, you wasn't. You was born again with that, trying to get that ticket. You were trying to get that fire ticket to heaven. Because you ain't know. They told you, how you know you get in the car right now, you ain't gonna die on the way home. Like, you know, y'all remember them, huh? Yeah. How you know tomorrow you're gonna wake up? I get a little warm right there. I'll start spraying the breath too. It's going to be hot down there. You said it's going to burn? You said forever? Yeah, give me that Jesus. Let's just give it to me. I don't even know if I'm so sure about it, but just give it to me. What's in it for me? When you see the favor of God, you don't see the favor of God for nobody else. You want the favor for you. Right? When you pray, you may say some prayers for some other people, but who the majority of them things for? Ain't nothing wrong with that. I don't feel bad, but I'm taking you somewhere, right? Like it's what's in it. Everybody say, what's in it for me? Like that's a normal mind connotation, and I understand it. I get it. I think we graduate from it, but I get it, right? So I found out how to study the word in that way, and so now we take care of all that. You don't get something in it for you. Right? But it's not the stuff that you think. Delight thyself in the Lord, he gives desires of your heart. And so you start listing all the things that your heart desires, but you don't know what your heart desires. You don't even know your heart. We quick to throw out a list. I want this to happen when I'm this age, this happened, this. No. Stop. Because you're limiting. You're limiting the Holy One of. You get it? Break it down. All things are yours. You already got it already. All right. So now I'm going from preservation to self-identification. Are y'all is that cool? Can y'all write it down? Right now, I move from self-preservation to self-identification. Now it's going to change, okay? It's going to change the way that you approach, because see the approach, and we said it in another class before: self-preservation and self-identification. From self-preservation to self-identification. So now you've stopped reading the Bible to try to hold on. You stop reading the Bible to try to hold on and stay on the right side of righteousness. You are righteous. Say, I am righteous. Righteous. Come on, say, I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. That's a strong statement. You are the righteousness. Like you it. Like you the man, right? No, you the righteousness. Of who? God. Through Christ Jesus, I am that. All right? So you're not trying to preserve or stay above the water. You know, anybody ever been in a pool and you're like, you're trying to keep your head above the water? No, you're walking on it. But see, it's perspective. Now you can be up under there trying to catch the air and catch a little breath because you approach your way of thinking concerning the word of God is, I'm saving myself. No. You're already saved. So not in water. There's no reason for me to sink. But my approach and my perspective and my perception has everything to do with it. I'm trying to talk to you for a minute so I can break it. Because see, we already think we know what the word of God is for. So we think we're going to get a scripture. You know, we learn it, right? We get a scripture, we're going to put that scripture on our situation. Right? We're going to take that scripture, then we're going to confess that scripture over and over again on our situation. We're going to put the word on it. Well, you don't realize putting the word on means putting you on it. That means turning you on. Jesus didn't go ask for nobody else to help him do nothing. All right. Y'all ready? Can we live by the book a little bit? I can't hear y'all. Can we live by the book a little bit? All right. Jesus, the feeding, you can pick a story, right? But Jesus feeding the 5,000, which is actually more than 5,000, because it was just the men. There was 5,000 men, and they had women and children there, so we don't know how many kids you had, whatever. We don't know. But it's a lot of people out there, 5,000 plus, right? 5 loaves, 2 fish. What are they among so many? Jesus didn't say, God, Father, y'all know how we pray. You know, if you was outside and everybody depend on you to eat, you'd have prayed the longest prayer in the history of prayerdom. You'd have been like, Father, listen, I just want to wait on you for a moment and just make sure that you know that we're here and we're hungry. And these are your people. Now, don't forget, God, these are your people, because now you're self-preservation. Now you don't want to look like you ain't a prophet. So you're going to pray that old long prayer. Jesus said, I know you always pray. I thought he was about to say a long prayer, and he was just like, thank you. Yeah. And he started breaking bread. He didn't ask God to do anything for him. Who's our example? Who's our example? Jesus. All right, so I'm bringing it to a head. See, they got a lot of times, we got a lot of loopholes. We can get around a lot of stuff. Then we can act like we ain't see that part. We're going to do this, but we ain't see this part. Right? No loopholes. Jesus eliminated. We can find loopholes with Abraham and Job. And all, we can find loopholes. There's no loopholes in Jesus. There's no contradiction in Jesus. There was nothing that Jesus said that contradicted something else that he said. I can say that about the other preachers. There's nothing. So now here he is. And he don't ask God to do nothing for him. The only time I heard him ask God to do something was in that chapter. He said, God, I pray that you keep the ones that you gave me in this world. Remember that? Remember that prayer? But other than that, he spit on the dirt, put in the man's eye, and told him, go wash. I ain't hear him say, now, God, now, Father, make sure that he gets to the water and make sure that his eyes really open, because, you know, you got to keep my career going. He just said it, and it was. You know the greatest thing about Jesus? Yeah, he died. Yeah. But that was a result of something. Dying on the cross is a result. That's a result of something. You can't just do that. You can just go die on the cross. I don't care who gave you commission. I don't care how much you say you committed to him. I don't care how much you say you can't just go do that. Y'all realize what happened? Hold on, no. Do y'all realize what happened? Y'all realize he walked to murder. No fear. Who you looking? I'm he. I'm the one you're looking for. All the friends left. Everybody rolled out. Take me, I'm here. He knows what the crucifixion is like. Because they've been doing it for years. Through the courts of the city and see crucifixion. So he already knows the bruising that's about to happen. And he already knows that his homeboy's going to leave him in denial. And he got to die for them. And he already knows that those that spit on him and say, kill him, free Barabbas, is the ones that need him the most. And they won't realize it till later. But this is a result. Because you can't just go do that. Come on, go. Come on, Darius, go die for everybody. Come on, kid, go die. Go die for everybody. I would like to think that I would do it. Yeah, I would. Like, if you told me I had to do it in 30 days, today I'd be like, I got y'all. I'm going to hold y'all down. 15 days closer. I got y'all. Then the day before, I don't know. Then they prove it a little further because they say Jesus could have, we're living by the book now. Don't just think I'm up here telling us, we're living by the book, okay? We're going somewhere, we're living by the book. Y'all seeing me? But Jesus, now they go a little further, so he could have called all them angels. Y'all got to understand what was really going on. What this sacrifice really meant. You got to realize what was the root of this sacrifice. It wasn't just that day was a day he just decided, and like he was an android or just a robot, and he's just like, well, I'm going to go do the will. No, this is somebody that was feeling. Jesus was crying in some scriptures. It feels like you. He had family too. What would possess a man to make a decision like that? What is it that's going on in this man's mind to make him go all the way like that? Right? It's something else. It's more than a scroll now. It's more than a scripture. It's more than a service or a prayer, right? Or an anointing. It's more than that now. This is something else. What kind of mindset does a man have to be able to willingly walk into that for people that might not even accept it? And then even though, he said, you tear down this temple and in 3 days I'll build it. I'll build it back. He started talking to John 10. Y'all know John 10? You familiar with John 10? Anybody know what John 10 say? Yes. Anybody know what John 10 say? Anybody on that side know what John 10 say? I'm going to come back. Anybody know what John 10 say over there on that side? Anybody? You know what it say. You just don't know what it say. Everybody say John. Come on, say it. Say John chapter 10, verse 10. Come on, say it again. John chapter 10, verse 10. Come on, say it again. John chapter 10, verse 10. Say John chapter 10, verse 10 says, say it says, in John chapter 10, verse 10, talking about? John chapter 10, verse 10, and it says, you know how to say it so many times, now he's thinking about it. No, you John 14, 6. I'm going to John 10, 10. You go to John 14, 6. We're going to go to that one too. Oh, it is that. That's the end of that. That's the end of it. Started. Now y'all know it, huh? The thief coming not but for the, Now we got the choir together, right? Now we know I'm come that you might have, and you might have it. Right. Everybody say it. What scripture? Come on, say it again. Come on, one more time. Y'all got me trying to make y'all memorize scripture for John chapter 10. Oh, so now, amen. You read a little further. See, we like that scripture, so we go to that scripture, and we quote that one, and then we run off with a message. We run off with a sermon, or we try to put that scripture on something. But then if you get the context, he starts talking later on. He's talking about, because the thief wasn't the devil. Oh. Y'all thought the thief was the devil. Y'all thought the thief was the devil? Come on, how many of y'all thought the thief was the devil? Come on. By show of hand, you thought the thief was the devil. Go read a little bit. And he said, all those that came before me was a robber and a thief. So the mother was coming with that other doctrine. They the thieves. Because the enemy can't really steal from it. You gotta forfeit it. You got to give it away. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Right? So now, but you got to read the context. It's living by the book. So now you've been, all these years you've been in church, you thought the thief was the devil. He was talking about them old slew-foot preachers. Or them slew-foot lawgivers. Or them ones that have been trying to keep you under their thumb by their heretics. That's the real thief. You get it? A thief. How does a thief operate? Sometimes a thief will be sitting right next to you. There's people embezzle something in a company. They worked for the company. He was on staff clocking in everything. There's a thief. A thief will be somebody that come in your house. Ain't always gotta be the one with the mask and they break in the window and come in with a pistol. No. Sometimes a thief is somebody that been in your house before. And they know how everything go. And they done scouted you out. Anybody. They'll thief way better than the devil come in floating in your room or whatever, however you think he look. Are y'all feeling me? Are y'all understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So now that's the real thief. And then let me go on. This is what I'm really trying to get through. He goes on later talking about, I'm the good shepherd. And I'm not reading it. I'm not saying it verbatim. He starts talking about, I'm the good shepherd. He said, everybody else is a hireling. He said, if they don't want to give their life, they're a hireling. If they don't want to give their life, they just here because somebody hired them to be here. They're really not here for the sheep. Right. He said, but the good shepherd will give his life for the sheep. And not only will he give his life, but because he know he got the power to take his life again. See, Jesus begins to speak like this. What kind of man can have this conversation and then still know that you can't take me, but I'm going to give my life. You can't take me. You can't, no, y'all don't take me. I give myself. What kind of man talk like this? And then know on the other side of that, he going to get his life back, but he's still kind of concerned. Because he turned, he never said, why are you forsaking me? We never had that conversation. You find yourself in Jesus. Find yourself in Jesus for a minute. Can you find yourself? I don't know. Can I hear you? Can you find yourself? Find yourself in Jesus for a minute. All of those things that you deal with, all those things that you feel, and all those things you worry about, that don't worry. just so you know how to deal with them on purpose. But this is a different thing now. This is not a, you can't get this through ministry school graduation. You can't get this by laying on of hands. And God bless all that. But you're not going to get this. This is not, all those things are great, but something got to be happening during that time. But it's just not those things. That's sand. You got to be built on a rock to be able to stand through that, to be able to have that mentality to click out and go all the way. Because Jesus says, no greater love than this above a friend. And he did it. Actually, he went all the way. There's something different about their mind. Philippians 2:5 says. All right, who knows what Philippians 2:5 say? Come on, Philippians 2:5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2. Everybody say Philippians. Chapter 2, verse 5. Hold on, before we do that, what John 10:10 say? Come on. I'm the John chapter 10, verse 10 says. Okay. I'm not actually, but you know where it's at, right? You know where it's at? Where that's at? Don't you ever forget it. Look, don't forget it. All you got to do, listen, we don't give our minds, the beautiful minds that God has given us, we don't give them enough credit. We don't give them enough exercise. We don't give trust to remember. Pretty much almost all of my family members' phone numbers by heart. Even though I have them in my cell phone, I usually pick up my phone and dial them. I won't scroll to the name, I'll dial them. I'm not trying to be fancy. I'm making a point to do that because I know that this is more powerful than the phone. The phone is going to do what I'm telling it to do. And it's helpful. Thank God for the phone because they got a bunch of numbers in there that I don't know by heart that I do need to scroll up, right? But I commit things to my memory. Like my Bible. Huh? Someplace, you know, we're at the office. You know what I'm saying? It ain't time for Bible study. You might pick it up on your phone. It's easy to look at the Bible now because it's on your phone, right? But it ain't time for Bible study, but you still got a Bible study. You ready? Like at some particular moment, you ever had a moment in the day, you gotta remember who you are? She said, ho. Right? You got to remember who you are. I get myself together. I got to rehearse the word that is me. Not just the word that's in me, the word that is me. So you know where it's at? Where is it at? Don't you better not listen. I'm going to catch you in the streets. We're in the mall. I don't be going to the mall. Hey, how y'all doing? What is it? John 10. God will set it up. I'll get you some. Philippians 2:5. What about that Philippians 2:5? Anybody else know what it said? I know he know what it said. Anybody else know what it said? Huh? All right, you close. You got the right scripture. You close, right? What y'all said? Uh-huh. And then she's like, let this mind be in you. Right? All right. So Philippians, let this mind be in you, which is also well. So let's slow that down for a minute. Can we live by the book a little bit, right? Can we live by the book? Can we calm down and really pay attention to who we are? Because, see, you would study longer and you would meditate longer and you would take more time with the word when you understood that something's in it for you. You. So we don't have to, we're not going to study about God. We're studying about us. Huh? Come on, y'all. Come on, We're studying about who we are. Who we are in Christ. You get it? So it's not I'm studying about God and not about me, but not together. Jesus said, me and my Father are one. I'm in the Father, he and me. Then you and me and I'm in, what that mean? Are y'all understanding? But now if I change my perspective, then I stay a little longer with learning me. I don't feel like it's a duty when it's learning me. I'm not gonna rush to learning me. Awesome. You mean to tell me I'm approaching that, and I'm learning better about the power that the power that's on the inside of me. Oh, we got to stay here for a while. Oh, that other stuff don't even matter that much. Oh, those other things don't add up to the fact that I'm learning. You see the change? Oh, do y'all see the change? Can y'all kill the ritual in your son? Can y'all kill it right quick? Can you kill it in your mind right quick? Or the duty part of it? Y'all know, we all came up with a duty. And here's the thing, here's how I feel about duty. Again, we're singing Jesus at the center, and we keep singing the song, you know, we're singing Jesus at the center. And I heard something say, we gotta move from Jesus being our focus to Jesus being our focus. And you know, Jesus talking riddles like that. So, what do you mean, Father? Like, what do you mean? And so, you know, I know, but I know what to do. Like, what do you, we go from being what we focus on. All right, I never said it like this, but it's cool. Thanks, Holy Ghost. He has to go from who we focus on to who we focus like. You want me to say it again? Right. We're moving from who we focus on to who we focus like. I focus. Write my hands real quick. I know you want to write it. Around. Go ahead, write it. I'm sorry. I'm so loud. What did we say? Go from who we focus on to who we focus like. Right? I'm trying to remember. I'm gonna go back and listen to this stuff myself. Not that I want to hear myself talk. I can't stand hearing myself talk. Just being honest. You ever heard yourself talk? You ever recorded and heard yourself talk? I sound like I'm stopped up. Why I'm breathing like that? Why all that, right? So I understand, all right? But I because sometimes you say stuff that you don't know you're saying. Majority of the time it's like that. Okay, so but watch my hands. So now I go from Jesus being what I focus on, like looking under Jesus, right? Get it? Like how I focus. So now go from Jesus being our focus to Jesus being our focus. In other words, I go from looking at him to being like him. I go from looking at him and trying to be like him to now focusing just like he focused, to see things the same way. Peter, when Jesus was doing something, he was constantly testing Peter. That's why we only hear about Peter after that out of the disciples. We don't hear about nobody else. You know that, right? Book of Acts, you don't hear about nobody else. All the rest of them gone. All the person you hear about is Peter. Right? But now, when he's walking on this water, he said, "That's you. Come." He said, "That's you. Let me come out there." Like, well, come on in. So it's you. Come on, let's go. Peter begins to do the same thing Jesus is doing because he's focused on. Now, if he would keep coming, John 5:39 says, "Sir, John 5:39, anybody? John 5:39. We'd have said this in this class a bunch of times. So John 5:39, anybody? John 5:39, anybody? Any guesses? I'm serious. Come on, go. Come on, John 10:10, go. Come on. Your mind better than that. And Philippians 2:5 says, it's in there. Chapter 5:39. Say it again, John, chapter 5:39. Everybody say, John. I need you to say it like I said it, because I'm trying to do something with your memory. Say, John. Chapter 5, verse 39. John chapter 5. You got to do it to the aggregate. John chapter 5, verse 39. And I say it, come on, say it. I am. Forget it. Where is that?
John 5:39.
I would say, all right, read it. Somebody read it. So here we go. Search the scriptures. Remember we talked, now y'all know we went over that already, right? Right? See, a lot of times you just don't remember. So look at it. Everybody look at it. And read it together. Ready? Read. Search the scriptures, right? For in them you think, so it's possible, you can search the scriptures and think you got eternal life. And they, what's talking about them scriptures, are they which testify of who that talking. I said, those scriptures that you're searching, that you think you got eternal life in, right? Search them, right? And they are they which testify of me. But what the next part say? Come here, Darius. Come here. Thank you. You knew. Hold on. Come here. Come here again. You knew exactly what to do, huh? When I said come here, did you have any confusion? No confusion. You knew to get up out your chair and walk where? In my direction, right? Why? Because I gave the command to come here, right? So if I say, I got $1,000 for you, but you wouldn't come to me. Show up, something that I had for you, but you wouldn't. Thank you. Thank you. All right, listen. Search the scriptures. If any of you think you have eternal life, and they are they, which has followed me. So we know who we're talking about and all that, right? We know what the scriptures is. We know what the problem. But you, who don't? You don't. You won't come. All right, come to me is not a hard thing to understand. You just won't. You won't come to me. Are y'all understanding? So now Peter walking on the water. All right, we still talking about going from Jesus up to Jesus. I'm going somewhere, all right? Stick with me. Peter is walking on the water. We know the story, right? And he's walking. He said, if you come. So it's an amazing story. We don't know how many feet he walked, how many steps he took, but we know it's just more than what we've taken. Amen. So we can't really judge him for being in fear. Right? So he's walking. And he's coming to Jesus. And he's looking at Jesus. So his focus is Jesus. And so as long as he's focused on, he's doing exactly what Jesus is doing. But then the story goes on and says, what happened? Come on, in your own words. What happened? What happened to Peter? He began to sink. How did he begin to sink? He started looking at the water and started looking at the winds and the way that he lost what? Not only did he lose focus, you get it? And so therefore, he tossed to and fro with the waves and the wind, because that's what he was focused on. The statement says, and I like to make this statement, it's an old statement, and y'all heard me say, I said it a lot, what you focus on does what? What you focus on expands. Say, what I focus on. Come on, say it again. Say, what I focus on expands. Doesn't say that. You ever heard somebody say that before? The Bible says you teach a man to fish, he eat for a day. Give a man a fish, he eat for a day. Teach him how to fish. The Bible don't say that. The Bible says talk is cheap. He don't say that either. All right. Put your money where your mouth is. The Bible says no, it don't say that either. All right. So he continues to walk and not focus on the winds and waves and keep his focus on Jesus. Then when he gets to Jesus, he's like Jesus. See, the Bible, listen to me, y'all. Okay, y'all listen to me. Yeah. If you listen to me, say yeah. Yes. The Bible is a story about you. So don't sit up here and think this Bible. I'm talking about the, you see what I'm saying? So now when these stories go on, I see me. So now in that story, I realize where I miss it. Where I miss it with my focus. So we can't just talk about Peter. You, Peter. You, Peter, till you become Jesus. You're everybody else till you become. What's your name? Say your name. I don't care about them. Say your name. I don't care about who that is. You everybody else. You got to go off of everybody else's heritage. And all that stuff that's been passed down in your DNA, you got to live off of that till you realize who you really are. You everybody else. You scary Abraham. Y'all won't call him Father Abraham. I call him scary. No, I ain't going to hell for calling him scary Abraham. He knew he was scary. He the one talking about, that ain't my wife. And what was it? His son did the same thing. He was scary. And the people said, what have you done to us? Remember that? Right. And we'll go back and say, what? Get her out of here. You about to call a curse upon us. Because right. You scary. Right? Right? Mm-hmm. Old drinking Noah. Alcoholic Noah. Old thieving Jacob. Do y'all know Jacob? Did y'all know that Jacob is who Israel is named after? Yeah. Old thieving Jacob. Yeah. And who the father decided to name the children of Israel after. That we always glorify. Yeah. And it came from two wives and two side chicks. Y'all better live by the book with me. You everybody else until you come all the way to Jesus. So Peter, if he keeps coming, and in one of the passages in the Gospels, they say when Jesus saved him, you know, Jesus grabbed his hand. And they say, then immediately, walks up, and then so as soon as they got the boat, immediately the boat was to the other side of the land. Mm-hmm. Teleported. See the power? Right. You got to read your Bible. Y'all don't be reading your Bible like that, huh? Y'all be reading the Conqueror. Boy, it's got some stuff in there. Yeah. How about you? Mm-hmm. Go from Jesus as my, and it's not that, that Jesus as your focus is a bad. If you stay there too long, then you begin to frustrate the grace. When you wear, when you're grown, but you're still wearing your clothes that you wore in second grade, you're frustrating them clothes. You're frustrating us too. I'm frustrated. You walked in with your little brother t-shirt on like I'm frustrated. You frustrate the grace. Are y'all hearing me? I got to do this quick. You begin to frustrate who you are and where you are and what you're supposed to be if you stay there too long and you never grow up into him in all things. But the rules teach you how to be the ruler. When you master the rules, you understand how to be the ruler. But you can't stay in the rule book. Because if you stay, come on, y'all ever had a rule book for something? Right? But sometimes there's some things that came up the rule book didn't answer. And you had to go off cuff. You had to shoot from the hip, right? You had to figure out and use some intelligence in you. From as your focus to being your focus. Amen? Amen. God bless you. I'll see you next time. How y'all doing on y'all tests? Ah, I can't hear y'all. My test ought to be the easy with 5 questions apiece, and that be your test with them 20 questions. The same ones. So then one, it's like if you would go take your practice quizzes, y'all won't be doing it because y'all ain't online students. But if you go take them and you fail them, you see what you missed? Just print it on out, and then you'll know. Come on, y'all, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to.